friendship and a relationship with for pretty close to 25 or more years. I thank you and I praise you for just blessing me with that relationship. But I thank you that you've blessed the entire body of Christ with the creation that you've made in Ed. I see the things that he's done to serve you over all the years of his life. And so we mark today and we say, thank you, Jesus, that this is just celebrating the anniversary of your creation of Ed. And we lift him up and I thank you that in the year to come, that he just walks in all of your joy, all of your blessing, in health and strength, in every good thing that you have prepared and planned for him. And I thank you and I praise you that you continue to use him in ways that he can't even see to advance your kingdom. We praise you and thank you for that. In your name, Jesus. I lift up Jim. I just thank you. I haven't known Jim as long, but in the 4 or 5 years that I've known Jim, I see the qualities of you in him. And so we just thank you and praise you for Jim. I thank you for how you use him on a daily basis. I thank you for the wisdom and the insight, the things that he's shared with me, the things that he's taught me, and I know he's taught others. I thank you for that, and I thank you that you continue to use him. And I see, and the church has seen, how you have used him. But we just thank you and praise you that in this coming year, you have even greater ways to use Jim, using him in things that he might not even see or realize, but perhaps you will. But I just thank you that you're using him in greater ways. So we lift him up. And I just thank you. We rejoice in the creation that you have made in Jim. And we thank you that you are sharing that creation with us. We rejoice in it and we speak every joy, every blessing, every favor, strength, health, and life to the year to come for Jim. And it's a joy that just spreads to his entire family as well. We thank you for these things. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, you guys have been coming for a while. You know that I like to use different illustrations. And I've used a lot of illustrations on my Sunday messages from history. I love history. I don't have a history illustration for today. I love history, though, and I love using those illustrations. I've also used a lot of illustrations on Sunday mornings from the sciences. And that might sound boring, but boy, I think back, and there's been some great illustrations. I mean, everything from botany. You know, we saw the terebinth trees and how that was tied to the live oaks. I can't even remember all the different science things we've had, but I know that we've talked about potential energy and everything from potential energy all the way to string theory. And we saw the Word of God through those demonstrations. We've seen mathematics as illustrations. We looked at exponential growth, and we could see how that was demonstrated on the chessboard. Arts, Leonardo da Vinci. Architecture. You know, we've seen great things through the life of Michelangelo and so much more. I love viewing the world through the lens of the Word of God because it's exhilarating, but it's also enlightening. The Word of God is revealed in everything in this life if we will just but look. We always see the Word of God. And there's so many things we can learn if we'll look through the lens of the Word of God. So many things we can learn about Jesus, his word, and the promises that are there. Now, last week we looked and we saw how we are precious stones in Jesus, that he is building into his kingdom. So, precious stones, there was a little bit of geology, if you want to use that. Today, what I want to do is just touch on the science of structure. Now, it's going to be far more exciting than it sounds when you just say that, so trust me on this. If you've been with some of the illustrations, you know I'm not going to let you down. It sounds boring, but it's going to be good. The science of structure. We're going to see how we are structurally tied, not just to this natural realm, but we are structurally tied to the spiritual realm as well. We are precious stones, but we're also concrete. Now, that statement might sound kind of dull as I just say it now, but trust me, about 30 minutes from now, you're going to look back at that statement, you're going to say, wow, that was really good. So it's going to be good. We're going to see some illustrations and just learn some of the things of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to see this first picture because this kind of ties to last week, and that's where I want to launch off for today. This is a picture of the gemstones. This is a picture that captivates the beautiful, amazing colors and the fabulous luminosity that is gemstones. Gemstones are beautiful. This is you and I. This is what we saw last week. This is you and I in Jesus. We are those precious stones, those gemstones that radiate his light. This is who you and I are. But here's my question. Do you feel on a daily basis, do you feel luminous or do you feel dull? You know, it's really easy in this life to see ourselves only as we are in this natural world, failing to see ourselves as we are in the spiritual realm and in the spiritual reality. I gave a message a couple of years ago that was about seeing ourselves in the spiritual realm, seeing ourselves as the Lord sees us. We can't see in the spiritual realm, but that is the greater reality. We can see in this physical realm, but there's also the spiritual realm that we live in and that we dwell in. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of verses that show us how we should see ourselves in that spiritual realm, in that spiritual arena. Now, just a couple. We are crowned. The Bible says this. We are crowned in Him. If you could see yourself in the spiritual realm, if you saw yourself crowned with the glory of Jesus, you know, instead of walking through life like this, you'd be walking through life, not arrogant, but you'd be walking through life with a confidence. The Bible says that we are also surrounded by His shield. If you could see yourself in the spiritual realm and you saw that you were surrounded by His shield, think of the boldness with which we would operate and move and speak and do on a daily basis. Think about the things that we're hesitant to do in life now. But if you saw yourself, and this is what you should see, because it is you in the spiritual realm. You are surrounded by His shield. The Bible also tells us we have the key of His authority on our shoulders. If you could look and see yourself and you had the key of His authority and you could utilize that key and use His authority, making all the things of the world line up with His word, if you could see that key, how would that change your life? And how would it change the lives of those around you? If you could see in the spiritual realm that which is reality. The Bible also tells us that we are stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about the king would always have a signet ring. And if he put that wax imprint of that ring on a document, that meant it was the word of the king and it had to be obeyed to the fullness. We are stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you could picture yourself stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit, knowing that when you speak and you speak His word, you speak with His power and His power is going to go forth. This is the way that we should see ourselves. We are seated with Jesus. Seated with Jesus as joint heirs in all of His victories. This is the way that God the Father sees you because He sees you in the spiritual realm. But here's the thing. It's also the way that the enemy of your soul sees you. Here's the thing. Satan does not want you to see yourself as he sees you in the spiritual realm. He doesn't want you to see yourself crowned, shielded, with authority, stamped with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to see any of that. He wants you and I to continue to see ourselves only as we are in the weakness of this flesh. That's what He wants us to see. But this is why it's so important for us to realize that there is some structural truth of who we are. We are structurally, we can see ourselves in this natural realm, but we need to see ourselves as we are structured in the spiritual realm and what that looks like. A scripture I want us to look at to start off. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 13. I love all the opportunities that I get to share the word. I love the opportunities. There are just sometimes that just a word gets in you. This whole week, as this all came together, I just got excited. So I don't know what you get out of it this week, but I've gotten a lot out of it, and I'm excited to be able to share it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 through 13. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's field. You are God's building. That ties into what we saw last week with being those precious stones that He's building with. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise builder, this is Paul speaking, a master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's our foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each work will become clear. For the day will declare it because it'll either be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. We need to be. We are those precious stones in Jesus. We are those gemstones that are radiating the light of Jesus Christ, and that's what we need to be. We are God's fields. God is cultivating us daily in the Word of God so that we produce His fruit and He can build our kingdom. As we are developed and prepared, as He develops and prepares us, we move from that agricultural viewpoint into the architectural viewpoint, into that structure. We are those building stones. We're those precious gemstones that He uses to build with. But how do you see yourself? I mean, as you get up tomorrow morning, how are you going to see yourself? Are you going to just see yourself as it being another Monday and you're just trying to go through all the routines and the regimens that you have to go through on Mondays? Or are you going to see yourself as a precious stone, as a gemstone, as something that He is using, a gemstone that is radiating like that picture, radiating that light of Jesus, and that He can use you tomorrow and every day to build His spiritual structures? How do you see yourself? Because honestly, most of us struggle to see ourselves in the spiritual realm because we only have, our senses only perceive these natural things. So we struggle to see ourselves in the spiritual realm. But the reality is, you are that gemstone that is shining the light of Jesus Christ to the world. And it's through that that He can build. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and it is His light that is shining through you as His gemstone. That is what He is building upon. He's cultivated us. He's prepared us. He is looking to build using us with His light shining through us. Can you get a picture of that? You see, regardless of how you see yourself, you are a precious stone. You are a gemstone radiating that life. You are a stone that is a vital part of His spiritual, architectural plan. Now just think about that for a second. You are a stone that is a vital part of His spiritual, architectural plan. He's building in this world, but He builds through us. You are a vital part of that. He's created you, as we've seen the last couple of weeks. The light shines through you differently than it shines through anyone else. He has specific purposes for you, for Him through you, to use you in ways that you can't even think about or possibly imagine. See, the natural eye can't see or can't discern those things, but you are that precious gemstone in Jesus Christ, and as that precious gemstone that's radiating His light, you also act as His prism. I said prism, not prison. Prism. So what happens when light goes through a prism? Yeah, it splits, and it becomes beautiful rainbow of colors. Don's going to show us that. This is what a prism does. Light hits a prism. And when the light hits the prism, when it strikes an object, it angles through that object. And in this case, you are that object. In this case, you are that gemstone. So the light, it strikes the object, it angles through. And then once the light is inside the gemstone or inside the material, it slows down, it bends, and it splits, and it forms all these beautiful colors of light. This is the individual creation of you. It looks different, and it's beautiful through you. And you can't always see it because we only see with the natural realm. But in the spiritual realm, this is what's happening through you. This is what He builds through. This is the beauty. Every one of us, each one of us, we are each filled with the pure light of Jesus. His light is inside you. But His light is altered through the individual creation of you. His light is shining uniquely through you. This is, let me see that next picture, Donna. This is the way that you should see yourself. You should see yourself like this. And unfortunately, this light kind of drowns it out. But I just love all of those beautiful colors coming out of the gemstone. This is you. This is how you should see yourself. Because you have the pure light of Jesus in you. You are the prism. And he is coming out of you in various ways. He's coming out of you in beautiful ways. In ways that he comes through you and you alone. He can't come through anyone else. This is the way you should see yourself. Now, picture this. We saw last week that he's using us as precious stones to build. We saw how he uses us to build the wall. But he also, this is how he is building his spiritual house. Picture the beauty of this. That's you. That's one person. Picture the wall that he's building. Picture the spiritual house that he's building. The only components he's using is all of these. It's you. It's each one of us. Think of how magnificent that looks. A structural wall that is made of nothing but that. With light shining out in ways that are stronger and more beautiful than even that picture can illustrate or show us. This is how we should see ourselves because this is how Jesus sees us. He has prepared us. He's cultivated us for his light to shine through us. This is what we look like. And this is how we should see ourselves. This is how we are structured in the spiritual realm. And he is using us. You are a vital part. This is you, and you are a vital part of his spiritual architectural plan. Now, we tend to struggle because rather than seeing this, we look in the mirror. And when we look in the mirror, we see the faulty flesh and all the imperfections that come with it. And that looks nothing like a precious gemstone shining the glorious light of Jesus through us. You see, when we look at ourselves and we see ourselves in the mirror, we're not seeing gemstones. What we see, what we wind up seeing, is unfortunately just cold, dull, shabby shell of this rock. That's what we see in the natural. That's what it looks like to us, but that's not who we are in Jesus Christ. And we need to see ourselves as we are in Jesus Christ. This is the way we should see ourselves. This is a familiar verse, but look at Mark chapter 16, verse number 18. I'm going to show this to you from the Amplified Bible. Mark 16, verse 18. And sometimes we get frustrated with the people that are, you know, around us, even in the body of Christ. It's easy to get frustrated with people. And it's easy to see the imperfections and the flaws that we see in the flesh. But we should see them, try to see them as that beautiful gemstone with his light shining through. And how can we help them? How can we help them polish their lives so that that light shines even more gloriously? So here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter. Greek, Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek, Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades and the power of the infernal region shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock, but we are the pieces of the rock that he builds with. We are those pieces. We are those gemstones in the spiritual realm. We are his gemstones. But what we tend to see when we look with our natural eyes, we instead just see the dull, somewhat shabby rock that is this flesh. But don't let that mislead you. That's just the shell of this life. See yourself in the spiritual realm as that beautiful gemstone. Illuminated and illuminating the world through the light of Jesus in you and through you. Because the natural eye can only see that concrete or that part, that stone of the flesh. Here's my suggestion for a happy, contented, and dynamic life. We need to learn to see ourselves as we are in him. Instead of seeing ourselves in this temporary, how we appear in this temporary flesh, we need to see ourselves as we are in Him, not in this flesh. I just finished a course. It was a college course. It was talking about structural sciences. And the professor was a civil engineer. He was a civil engineer from the West Point Military Academy. And I told Mark and Diane that I just pretended he was from the Naval Academy when I was watching. But one of the things that he was talking about as he was going through civil engineering, as he was talking about these things, he spent a lot of time talking about building materials and the materials that are used to build structures. In fact, he spent one entire lecture talking about just one thing. He spent one entire lecture just talking about the building material of concrete. In fact, his very word, he said that concrete is, quote unquote, man-made stone. I want us, the rest of this morning, I want us to think about concrete. And think about concrete as being the stone of man, the stone that is this flesh. In the spiritual realm, we are gemstones radiating His light. But in this natural realm, we are concrete. It's kind of dull. It's not all that shiny or beautiful. But that is who we are. Now, when I look in the mirror, it's easy for me to only see the crude appearance of concrete, this stone of flesh, this stone of man. It's easy to only see that. But I have to train myself to see with spiritual eyes the greater reality, and the greater reality is I am a gemstone radiating His light and being used by Him. I am a stone. I am a rock, a part of Jesus Christ, emanating that light as He builds in me, through me, and with me. This is the way that I need to see myself. Now, if we're going to look at concrete and consider concrete to be that example of what this natural flesh, the stone of the flesh of man is, to better understand concrete as an illustration of that rock of flesh, it's probably good for us to understand or know what concrete, actual concrete, is made out of. Concrete is a mixture of just three ingredients. It is cement. Now, we tend to use the word cement interchangeably with concrete. Not interchangeable. Concrete is the final product. Cement is just one of the elements or one of the ingredients that makes up concrete. So concrete is made up of cement. It's made up of aggregate, which I'll tell you in a second, and it's made up of water. Those are the only three ingredients in the mixture that makes up concrete. So let's look at each of those different ingredients. Let's start with cement. Because cement, it is itself a mixture of a number of different elements. And when those things are all mixed together with water, it creates a paste. And it is a paste that fills all the voids of the concrete. And it's also the paste that holds all of the aggregate and everything. It holds everything together and everything in place. Now, when I was reading about concrete, I'd love this observation. It said, the quality of the cement determines the character of the concrete that is to be made. Now, if I am in this flesh concrete, that's probably important then. So think about this again. Cement, the quality of the cement determines the character of the concrete that is to be made. God is the cement. God is the one who fills everything. God is the one who holds all things together, even this flesh of this body. Look at this from Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 17, I'm going to show you this in the Amplified Bible. Colossians 1, 17. As you read this, picture God as that cement that is making up you. And He Himself existed before all things. And He, and in Him, all things consist, cohere, are held together. Everything is held together in Him. God is the cement in the concrete of us. So, if the quality of the cement determines the character of the final product, the concrete that is to be made, God himself, he is. We are this stone of this flesh. But we have the character, the nature, and the qualities of God himself already placed within us. That makes us his concrete, which in the spiritual realm, it looks like dull, shabby concrete to you. But because it is the quality of him within us, in the spiritual realm, it is that shining, radiant gemstone. That's what we are. That's cement. Now, here's the second ingredient. The second ingredient that makes up concrete is aggregate. Aggregate, anybody know what aggregate is? I just learned all this. Yeah. Guys are smarter than I am. Because aggregate is really nothing more than just crushed stone and sand. And sand is really nothing more than stones that have been pulverized into granular form. Each one of us, at times in our life, each one of us has felt like life has hit us like a jackhammer. Right? You can't go through this life and not experience trials, setbacks, struggles. It is those very trials, setbacks, and struggles that leave us feeling like we're damaged, like we're crushed. Sometimes it even makes us feel like we are pulverized. But that is just nothing more than merely the material that God himself is using to make the concrete, his most excellent concrete in you. This is what he does to make you. He takes the remnant of our shattered lives and he fits it all together. It is all held together in him, God, who is the cement. And he takes that which the enemy has meant for destruction. He tried to pulverize our lives. God takes that which the enemy meant for destruction and he makes it something that is strong and whole. Now, all of that happens when we add the final ingredient in the mixture that makes up concrete. And that final ingredient is water. And we know that Jesus is the living waters. We know that because we see that Jesus, when he was speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria, this is what Jesus said. This is in John chapter 4, verse number 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living waters." Jesus is the living water in that mixture. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, he became that living water, which was mixed with that eternal power of God the Father. And it was mixed with the crushed and sometimes pulverized rocks of our life to make his exceptional concrete strong in him, this stone of flesh. Yeah, it looks dull to look at it and you see all the imperfections, but see it for what it is. His concrete, which in the spiritual realm are those gemstones radiating his light. Now, it may not appear, really glistening, and it may not appear to be radiant like gemstones, but the concrete that we're talking about, the concrete that is you and I, that he makes us to be, it is strong, and it is whole, and it is the material that he uses to build his spiritual structures of today in this natural world. You know, the things in the natural, they may appear to be ordinary in the natural. But you are that shining, illuminating gemstone in the spiritual realm, radiating his light in ways that you can't even see or think about or even possibly imagine. Now, there's something else you need to know about concrete. Because concrete, even though it's not very beautiful to look at, it is the best material for building structures, be it bridges, skyscrapers, or even dams. Concrete is the best building material. But concrete didn't become the preferred building material until it was learned how to strengthen concrete in the one area of its weakness. One area of weakness that concrete has. Under a certain structural force, concrete will crack, it will break apart, and it will structurally fail. See, concrete is really strong under the structural force of compression. So if you are pushing down on concrete, concrete is strong and unbreakable under compression. But it's very weak under tension. Tension is that structural force that tends to pull apart. But it was discovered in 1867 that if you put iron bars into concrete, which is rebar, if you put iron bars into concrete, concrete is then able to withstand all of those structural forces. So if you haven't seen what rebar is, I just want you to have a picture of this, and then keep this in your mind, and keep this up for a few moments, Donna. Keep this in your mind, because I want you to see this. This is what concrete is with that structure, with the bars of iron, the rebar placed in it, because this is the exact same things that happens to you and I as this stone of flesh. This is what happens to us. We are susceptible to structural failure under the stresses and under the tensions of this world until we are reinforced internally. And that internal reinforcement comes when we add the Holy Spirit into the mix. Because the Holy Spirit, we are strong in the Holy Spirit. Even in our weakness, we are strong. It is the divine that is in this flesh. It is that which allows God to build using the stones, using you and I as we are, even in this stone of man, this stone of flesh. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It is that internal. And we see a scriptural example of this from the life of Joseph. Joseph was strong in the promises of God despite what was taking place around him. I want you to read this one verse. This is Psalm chapter 105, verse number 18. But I'm going to show it to you from Young's literal translation because I love the way that Young says this. Psalm 105, verse 18. It's going to be different in yours, but picture it here, all right? Speaking about Joseph, they have afflicted with fetters his feet. Iron hath entered his soul. Iron entered his soul. I love that. That's a picture, that's a preview. In Joseph's day, it's a preview of what you and I have today. The Holy Spirit is our rebar. The Holy Spirit in us is that strength. The Holy Spirit in you is the iron that has entered your soul. And it makes this stone, it strengthens this stone to be able to be the material that God uses, that Jesus uses to build his spiritual structures of today. It is that mixture. That's what concrete is. And it's all of those things. It might look dull and boring in this flesh when you look in the mirror, but look beyond and see yourself as you are structured in the spiritual realm, which is that gemstone radiating his light in all things. Now remember last week we also saw that when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, we saw that Nehemiah had to rebuild those walls using burned stones. In life, we feel, as these stones, we feel sometimes like we are burned or crushed. But as a new covenant believer in Jesus Christ, you are made into a stone that is strong in him, strong to be used as a building stone through the Godhead. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each with their part in this stone of flesh that I live in and that I dwell in. You're the aggregate. You are the crushed rocks. Jesus is the water. God himself is the cement, and the Holy Spirit is the rebar. Jesus is the living water that is mixed with the cement of the Father. And that brings in the crushed stones of you and I. And it makes his concrete of today, which is reinforced with the Holy Spirit. The rebar of the Holy Spirit. Look at this from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verses 20, 21, and 22. Are you seeing yourselves as a gemstone? When you look in the mirror, when you leave here today and you look in the mirror and you see the dull stone of this flesh, rejoice and see yourself as that is the concrete. And it might look dull in this natural world, but it is merely the physical structure of the spiritual structure of that gemstone that you are, radiating his light. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, we are being built up in him, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That just ties all that. It just brings it all and ties it all together. Here's one final thought I want to share with you. If you also remember last week, we were talking about how Jesus, he built the pinnacles with rubies. Remember that? The pinnacles, those were those highest places in the wall or on the wall. And they were the highest place. The pinnacle we also saw was the highest place that was on the temple. That is you. You are the pinnacle. You are the gemstone that is set upon the heights. You are the gemstone that is set at the highest place in this temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a crown jewel, a crown stone in Jesus. You are a crown stone set on the heights, the pinnacle of this temple of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 16 says this. I'm going to show this to you from the Amplified Bible. Zechariah 9:16 says, "And the Lord their God will save them on that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the precious jewels of a crown." That is you. When you look in the mirror and you just see mere concrete, see what that concrete really is, how it's structured in the spiritual realm. It is the gemstone. You are the crown jewel on the temple, this temple of the Holy Spirit. Precious jewels of a crown, lifted high over and shining glitteringly upon his land. That is you. Shining glitteringly across wherever you go, today, tomorrow, at your workplace, at school, whatever it is you do tomorrow and this week, you are that crowning jewel, glittering with his light, radiating through you. That's how we see ourselves. It's easy to look in the mirror and to just see concrete, but instead look in the mirror and see the glittering, see the radiating light of Jesus that is shining through you, and it's shining through you as it can only shine through you. It shines through you unlike any other stone that he has created. It is you. And Jesus has prepared and polished you to take your place in his structural buildings, his spiritual structures, his spiritual house of today. He's polished and prepared you to take your place. Take your place and shine in him. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just show each one of us. It is easy for us to see ourselves and our flaws. But when we look at this concrete, let us see the beauty that you've made this concrete. That you are the cement, that Jesus, you are the water. Our crushed stones, you bring it all together, fit it together, and we are strengthened in the Holy Spirit. And let us see ourselves as those glistening, radiating your light, gemstones that are a vital part of the spiritual architecture that you are planning for today. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these gems. We send them off with our love. In your name, Jesus, you be glorified as I know you are through them. You be glorified. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Make sure that before they go, just give them your love before they go. When Donna gets back to the booth, we will still stand up and sing a final song of praise and worship together. Let's stand up. Got Donna to exercise.